Wait, did you hear?
No.
We're diving into the juiciest celebrity profiles of all time.
I'm Beatrice Hazelhurst.
And I'm Ivana Ryder.
This is Uncover Girl.
My dad said something incredible to me on the phone this week.
What was it?
He said, I do not see the best in people. I see people for who they are and their true intentions. And most of the time, it's diabolical.
Oh my God.
Takes things to, like, the next, I will tell him about a minor slight. And he was like, well, it's obvious they're trying to subvert you to regain control. And then you're going to have to deal with this for the next 20 years.
Oh.
So he is the most dramatic man I know.
There are people that go to their parents for comfort and then people that go to their parents for realism, and never the twain shall meet.
No.
I feel like my mom is very similar in that, like, when I go to her recently, I was like, I lost my job, my last source of income. It's gone. I don't know what I'm going to do. And she decided to launch in immediately and was like, well, you'll have to leave LA, definitely. No sense in staying in a city. You'll probably have to move back in with us and start a life in North Carolina. And that's really your only option at this point. And you should have seen this coming, I think.
Yeah. I have a friend whose parents are on the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah. I do too.
In the sense that equally unhelpful.
Yeah.
I should preface.
Yeah.
But she also lost her job at a media company within the last few weeks. And her parents said something along the lines of, like, really lean in and try and work in the entertainment industry in any way. She was like, well, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
To get in. I don't know if you've heard the whole big dreams, Hollywood baby, arriving with just a dream in my cardigan, but it's not the easiest way in.
The parents have been misinformed, mm-hmm. because my father also was like, have you and Steven ever thought about writing a script? Why don't you just write a script, make a movie? And I was like, are you kidding?
He's like, there's some great shows out there.
Yes, not just verbatim. There's a bunch of stuff out there right now. You guys could make a movie? Come on.
Our subject truly did do that.
Yeah.
So it's
true.
A tough one. It's a tough one because on one hand, he has a point. It's possible. It's been proven possible. On the other hand, it's winning America's Next Top Model. It's a 1 in a million chance that you're going to get that cover girl deal. I find myself in a conversation with my dad worked up. And then when I get off the call, I think, thank God I don't live in that man's mind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Everyone would be out to get me.
I've found so much freedom in that exact same thought, where when someone is upsetting me or I'm feeling confused about something or someone, I really feel a lot of freedom in, like, you know what? If I had the opportunity to trade places, I wouldn't want to. I don't want to live in their mind. I am free of this.
Best advice I'd ever got. I was in intense competition with someone in university, and a friend sat me down and said, would you rather be you though or him? And I said, my God, you're right. I would rather be me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be him.
No.
Yeah. But my mom ran into my high school, not nemesis. Are you familiar with the sharp pivot? Are you familiar with Anne of Green Gables?
Yes.
Gilbert Blythe.
Yes. Yes.
The kind of man who loves to nag, as we've established, that they're out there. He was very intelligent and now I think is like a secret agent of some sort.
Oh my God.
He works for the quote unquote army and quote unquote special ops. And I know this because my mother ran into his mother and he showed up in uniform, appeared out of thin air. And she goes, oh my God, I think you went to school with my daughter. And he said, yes, I did. We actually used to always compete. And he was like my Gilbert Blythe. And then years later, in my early 20s, we ended up hooking up or like making out. But my mom, instead of listing my accomplishments, which would have been my dream in that moment.
Of course, perfect. It's like running into an ex in a ball gown. And you're like, oh.
There's a lot right now going on that she could have said.
Topical, relevant.
She said, oh, she lives in LA now. She's met a lovely man.
They're happy.
To my former key competitor, who is now some sort of spy.
No.
To simply say that I've met a lovely man. There's no man on the planet who I think I would rather my accomplishments be listed out to just in their entirety.
Yes. From the beginning to the end.
Special skills.
Yeah.
Last five employers.
Publications by name. Yep. Alphabetical every order.
Single, yeah. Every single byline I've ever got.
Yeah.
And no, he said, what does she do now? She said,
no.
She's a writer. He said, oh, like what kind of writer? And she said, freelance.
No.
Freelance.
No. No. Magazine. Honestly, screenwriter would have been fine.
Screenwriter?
Better. Better still.
Executive producer?
Yeah. Oh.
Freelance writer. That is code for unemployed, as we all know, and which we all kind of are anyway.
Yeah.
But, my God, it was just this absolute slap in the face. And then I said, Mom, like, there's so much you could have said. There's so much I've achieved in my life outside of this relationship. And she said, I said all those things. I said, she's living in LA. She's a freelance writer. And my dad goes, sounds like you didn't. Sounds like you didn't say those things. Just the mean girl in the corner, just ready to cut your throat.
Yeah.
Stiletto to the temple, pressing down. So
that's really brutal.
You've also got to keep in mind that my mom is the mayor of my hometown. So she's an incredibly impressive individual by anyone's standards. And it would have just been nice.
A little something.
Just a little Vanity Fair.
Why not? Oh.
Yeah. So it's the achievements thing, the parents, it's all hitting close to home for me too.
Yeah, big time. I have an inspiration.
Do you?
I do. It is a film. It's a film that
we've talked a lot about.
I know we've talked a lot about it. We even have an episode that we could have easily pegged to it, but we had to.
No, we did. We did.
The Zendaya?
Yes,
of course.
We were June and
yeah.
I have to call, stop we were saying. Right in the middle. Keep saying June, and people are like, "Do you mean Dune?"
Oh,
so
okay.
Yeah, you want me to talk like this? I can do it. Let's do it.
It always scares me when you do. I'm always looking around like something's wrong,
like a massive identity shift. Ah! If you just like. Like, you actually just don't even know. I'm from the Valley, so. No, it's shocking. I understand. But.
Transformation.
Dune.
Yeah.
And challenges, concurrent press run. We pegged that episode too.
Yeah, you're so right. And it was like smack dab in the middle. Like, Dune had come out. Challengers was about to come out.
Yes. And the headline was, Zendaya serves.
And she did.
And did she?
The movie was incredible. The entire theater was screaming, which I have never experienced in a non-scary film. It was just that the twists in the film was... everyone was flustered.
Was it a psychological thriller type?
No.
Was it a dark comedy type?
Kind of.
Okay.
It was mostly just so sexy. Everyone was writhing in their seats. It was the hottest film I've seen. Y tu mama también. But in the current day...
I don't know if I can see it with my boyfriend.
It feels kind of... It's something for the girls.
Do you have to go alone?
No. Okay. I would... I mean, honestly, it was helpful to go in a group because then we had someone to turn to. Jaws dropped.
Mm.
But... I've been listening to the soundtrack, which is Trent Reznor, and it's really gotten me through all that I've had to do this week. I've had to do a lot of like physical lifting in that moving apartments. I've had to just be running around town, and that is playing in my car at all times. And I just think that something is happening in the culture right now, and sexy is back in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
Sexual tension, sexual chemistry, something is going on. We were now... Being where I am sat now, looking back at our past, there was a real celibacy in the past, I don't know, 5 years.
Yeah.
Things were not sexy. Celebrity crushes, not really a thing. No one turning to anyone and being like, I'm so horny, I could die.
Yeah.
And Challengers, I think it proves that we're out of the shadows now.
Well, for so long, it's been reported there's a full sex recession. So
yes.
As Zendaya, the Gen Z kind of icon... Maybe this is a mark of the tides turning.
I know. I know. And everyone was, everyone looked amazing in it. I can't wait for you to see it. You were supposed, you would have been there, sat with us that night. But he calls.
No, I had plans. I was actually in Palm Springs for a birthday.
Yeah.
Which leads me to my inspiration quite conveniently, actually. Thank you for that setup. You know when you're in a group situation and you are relegated to the home?
Yes.
When it's like we're in the one spot for days. You turn to games. It's like, who has the best game? And it's funny because in no other context are you ever in a kind of a gaming mood except on these trips.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like games are always like, it's everyone's like, it's a bit of fun, like have fun with it, you know?
Yeah.
I was in a room with incredibly intelligent individuals and we were playing a game that really calls on your pop culture knowledge, your communication skills. It's all there. The raw emotion was so palpable. And there was someone in the room who didn't really know the nuances of the game. We'd played it the night before. He'd arrived late the next day. And we all had to put in like pop culture figures into the bowl to act out, to describe, so on and so forth, so our teams could guess. He put in the nichest names you could imagine. Saxophonists from the 80s.
Oh.
Kids from commercials that I, you know, clearly didn't grow up with. And there was an extreme reaction because obviously you're timed, you're pulling out these names. And when you get to, I don't know, Kebab Kabuski, you're thinking, who on the hell is this? And I've already used my two passes. So the irritation rose and it was collective. And there was one moment where the birthday girl, happy birthday, Chan, said, you guys, it's a game. And if we can't just treat it like one, then that's actually stupid because people were getting, you know, fired up. That did nothing to change anything.
No.
People required that all the names be filtered and everyone that this boy put in be burnt in the fireplace that was currently going. It was throw them in the fire.
Oh my God. Or no deal.
Or we can't continue because we can't work like this. We can't be expected to work under these conditions. I love to see people take things seriously as if it's life or death. And that was the vibe, the ambiance, the attitude in the room.
No, I love it too. It's like watching people treat any little activity like they're clocking in for their emergency room shift.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
And when you're in a room of high achievers, which clearly I was, a competitive spirit is going to jump out. It was just so impressive too, the way people can just conjure words, actions, gestures, and communicate so effectively. Wait, can I tell you my favorite one? Yeah. I was giving Hilary Duff and I could only communicate who it was with like one kind of movement.
Yeah.
I put my thumbs through my invisible belt loops and I pulled slightly at my pants.
Oh, perfect.
People immediately got it. Twisting ever so slightly, pulling my imaginary belt loops down. Hilary Duff.
Oh!
That got to the crux so quickly. And that's going to stay with me. That's kind of my crowning achievement.
Yeah, that's so good. I have a friend who has a photo of her getting a parking ticket. The paparazzi like snapped her the moment she like found a parking ticket on the front of her car.
No.
And is like her head back annoyed. She has that photo printed in her office to remind her that even the best get taken down sometimes.
Who is that friend?
Julia.
But she is not a celebrity, as amazing as she is.
Hilary Duff?
Oh, Hilary Duff.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought Julia got pep. Okay, yes.
No. Julia, sweet friend Julia, has a photograph of Hilary Duff getting a parking ticket, like prominently displayed at all times.
That's special. I mean, she has one of the most iconic pepped moments, which is her getting proposed to on the balcony and then immediately giving a blowjob. And that's powerful stuff. I mean, just not even a yes, just a straight to the knees. I mean... Yeah, it's a hats off moment. I actually brought that up on the trip and a lot of people weren't familiar, which surprised me.
Really?
I know. It's
I
really
feel like that really made waves.
I know. And speaking of making waves, I don't think I realized how famous these people were at this time. It was Kim and Kanye. It was Zendaya and Tom. No, bigger than that.
I mean, I'm looking back at our little episode count. We have done our fair share of A-listers, but I do think there isn't echelon that mm-hmm. we have only tapped into. Exactly. I would say it's like a Jennifer Aniston. It's like a, yeah. I don't even know if we
no, haven't yet.
We haven't yet.
No.
But it's an Angelina Jolie.
Exactly.
It's sort of an A-lister in every sense of the word. Everyone multi-generationally knows who they are and cares.
Do you know why?
Why?
It's too big.
Yeah.
It's too big.
Yeah.
When we do a Tom Sandoval, for example, it's like a few people are familiar with the name.
Yeah.
They know, they remember Captain America. They may watch Vanderpump Rules, but it's not a connecting thread the way someone who is A-list. I think there's a reason we haven't done Brad Pitt yet.
I agree.
It's intimidating.
And there's so much there. It's like, are we going to talk about 90s Brad Pitt?
Right.
Are we going to talk about post-divorce Brad Pitt? Pre-divorce, post-gen, pre-Angelina.
Oh. But this moment, Ben Affleck is the most famous man on the planet, I would say. Him and Brad are neck and neck going for the title. This is Rolling Stone 2004. The headline reads, Ben Affleck's Hollywood ending. As half of the world's most dazzling celebrity couple, his life outshone his career. So now that Ben and J-Lo is over, what comes next? This is a crazy motherfucking time in Ben's life.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane. And it's written by a familiar writer for us, Jan C. Dunn, who actually did the Mary-Kate and Ashley profile.
Yes.
And only by now doing this do I realize that she loves to insert herself. She loves to be present in a profile. And that doesn't happen all the time. We don't get an I a lot. Like,
no.
I sat down with such and such and he told me. And this first person narrative, she is cosplaying Ben's girlfriend. She is really, she's living her best life. She's traditionally a music journalist. She worked for Rolling Stone for years and then became like an MTV VJ. She's very, very well known at this point in time and also just throughout the 90s, early 2000s. And she's also an accomplished author. I think you brought this up during the Mary-Kate and Ashley episode, but she wrote a book, How Not to Hate Your Husband After Kids. One of the best titles I've ever heard.
I agree. It's really right to the point.
Right, right. And she's also written about her foray in the celebrity space with a book, But Enough About Me, the most ironic title of all time, A Jersey Girl's Unlikely Adventures Among the Absurdly Famous. It's a memoir she published in 2006, all about interviewing the rich and famous. So taking a quick leap back to 2004, we've been there recently. We were there for Usher.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a real time of a cultural shift. I mean, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King was the biggest movie. It won 11 Academy Awards, including Best Picture. And in the same breath, there were just like a slew of memorable films. I mean, Rachel McAdams was in both Mean Girls and The Notebook that debuted this year. Big year for the gays. Same-sex marriage legalized.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Facebook launched at Harvard this year. There was so much. Oh, Beyonce, first Grammy. Without Destiny's Child, she took home 5 trophies for the release of her debut album, Dangerously in Love. Britney married Kevin Federline, while Justin and Timberlake?
That's how I know him.
The Justin and the Timberlake.
Both.
Justin Timberlake and Cameron Diaz were dating. Justin and the Timberlake exposed Janet Jackson's breast this year.
Mm-hmm.
There was Napoleon Dynamite. There was Desperate Housewives. There was the conclusion of Friends and Sex and the City. And Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck broke up. That is one of the biggest, most significant events in the pop culture sphere. It's on every single list I could find in my research. And in the same breath, she married Marc Anthony. Within months.
Oh my God.
A lot was going on.
I didn't realize it was within months.
I think, can I just quickly fact check
of
that?
Of course.
We were incorrect. She's been married 4 times. We said on the J-Lo episode it was twice.
Whoa.
J-Lo started dating Marc Anthony in 2003, shortly after she broke off her engagement with Ben Affleck. The couple got married in 2004. It was a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
But Ben also had a lot going on in 2004. He was on a press run for multiple films, Surviving Christmas, a family comedy that I have not watched. Have you?
No, I haven't.
He also had a sci-fi action thriller, Paycheck, mixed reviews. And then Jersey Girl, a romantic comedy drama. The film featured Jennifer Lopez, his former girlfriend, who's kind of carrying the film. And even then, it underperformed at the box office and got mixed reviews. Did you see it?
I saw it.
And?
Very cute. very, you know, the sort of the definitely maybe it's like dad and daughter. Okay. What do we do now that mom's gone? Mm-hmm. I find him very charming. He would charm me.
Oh,
easy.
These quotes alone. I mean, this profile, he is one of the most charismatic men, I think, on the planet. And the funny thing about actors, we've come to learn, they're very cerebral, introspective characters, for better or worse. They're kind of too busy thinking about themselves to have a good time in an interaction. Yeah. And Ben Affleck is not that man.
No. The Good Will Hunting. I think about those photos of him and Matt Damon calling their moms side stage after winning their Oscar. And they're so unbelievably young.
Yeah.
And they've just achieved the biggest thing you can achieve in their fields. And I like them. I like the Boston boys.
Love the Boston boys. But in this moment, Ben Affleck, he is... Who's an overexposed celebrity recently? Sydney Sweeney, well on the way.
Yeah.
And then times that by 1,000.
Yeah.
Like, he is the most famous man on the planet. And the article begins thus. What was your tipping point when it came to Ben Affleck? The moment where you threw your hands up and said, enough. Was it when he and Jennifer Lopez canceled their wedding? Was it when he bought her a Bentley? Or when she fried up chicken cutlets for him on TV? When his career became secondary to their celebrity? Maybe it was the precise moment that he put his hand on her bikinied butt in the Jenny from the Block video. Until that point, the nation feasted on the details. His strip club visit, the 6-carat rock that he gave her, the Latina bombshell with her fur coats and high heels, her ex-husbands and her appetites, and the handsome, square-jawed movie star. She's Bronx, he's Boston. And how could we forget that those people wear their hometowns on their sleeves more than anyone else?
Yeah. But a tattooed, like, state outline.
Is anyone saying about you, she's Newport?
No.
I tell you what, not a soul in the world is out of my hometown.
No.
Not even in New Zealand do they know it.
And mine was technically 25 minutes inland of Newport, like Mission Viejo.
Oh, Mission Viejo.
Yeah.
I think I knew it was Mission Viejo.
Yeah. Oh, no, not Newport.
Yeah.
I had friends in Newport. I spent time in Newport, but
you were in those
couldn't
hills.
Couldn't possibly. Technically, it's not even Mission Viejo. It's Ladera Ranch is where I grew up, which is like 8 minutes north of Mission Viejo.
It has a cute ring.
Ladera Ranch.
Country girl.
Yeah. I mean, all those girls are at Stagecoach this. They were whenever Stagecoach happens. Yeah. They go every year and I see them and I love to see them go.
They've got their hats on.
They have their hats on.
They've got the boots on.
Yeah.
And they're line dancing their way through that dusty field.
I know. I'm sitting here in a pair of cowboy boots right now, actually.
I know. You're in such a look. It's really
jarring.
It's
actually so funny because I truly only just was able to, like, what I found on the floor was what I picked up and I wore here.
Well, you look damn good.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. So does Ben.
So does Ben. And this is kind of setting the scene for what this profile is going to be. Now, I don't know if this was a prearranged type of angle with his publicist. I hope so, because I would be fucking devastated.
Well, this happened to you at the grocery store with your mom. It's like the story didn't end up being about you and your accomplishments, and it ended up being about
my
the
relationship
person that
you're with. Yes. Jency writes, indigestion set in, which is a beautiful sentence. Our relationship was written about so much that it alienated people, says Affleck, who claims that he is as sick of the spectacle as you are. I feel like a guy who is almost at the finish line, then I'll sort of disappear for a good long time and not be this person. So because the benefit relationship was so fresh and he has to promote Jersey Girl, which J-Lo, I keep doing, God, J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah. No, wait, what did you do?
I said J-Law again. I did this all through the Jennifer Lopez episode. The J-Law and the J-Law.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to end.
And the Justin and the Timberlake.
I know.
No.
I threatened then to close my laptop and walk away.
Oh, yeah.
My license revoked. But no. So because this relationship had freshly ended, it was back on everyone's minds, lips. We were thinking about it all over again, especially because Ben got J-Law hired. The two met on Giggly, which...
I know. We still haven't figured out how to say it.
Jiggly.
Jiggly.
Never even became a cult classic, which is the biggest tragedy. But Ben is very proud of this current movie, Jersey Girl. He says this is my favorite thing that I've done, directed by Kevin Smith. And then recently he asked Kevin if he was angry at him for suggesting that he cast Lopez. Ben says, it was more of a way of saying, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean for this to happen. I felt badly that the tabloid craziness would overshadow what is really personal work. So, I mean, the overarching theme is he is gutted. But Jency is attracted.
And she's sort of fearless because it's clear he is not super vibing with the idea of being profiled and on the cover of a magazine.
Only to talk about his girlfriend?
Yeah. And he basically says, like, hey, I'm weary. You've caught me at the tail end of, like, quite a moment. I promise I'll warm up.
Yeah. So she says that while he's usually gregarious, he's incredibly closed off on this particular day. He won't make eye contact. There are uncharacteristically long silences before he speaks, which is so awkward. And then instead, she just doubles down.
I know.
Oh, Jen. She goes right in and asks about the ring that he gifted Jennifer Lopez for their engagement. Who gets the ring? She writes. He replies, that's a ballsy way to start, with a brittle laugh. I pulled out the word brittle because for her to recognize it's brittle enough to write it, I don't know how she wasn't dissuaded.
It's such a wild way to open this. It's sort of the same level of, you know, when someone passes away and the first question is like, how'd they die?
Yes.
It's like, you don't.
You don't
You
do
don't
that.
Do this. We all think it, of course.
Yep. And but then he clarifies, I haven't even had these conversations with my close friends, which feels particularly dark. I mean, he says, look, I blame the media for our breakup. It's tough to live your life under a fucking microscope. And now that microscope has turned into like a high-powered shooting into space telescope that's constantly focused on you like a laser. And I think that played a big, big fucking part. The chokehold that Bennifer had in this moment was beyond anything that we could imagine. He was like, it ended mutually, but relationships are mysterious and hard to fathom. And you just have to accept that when it doesn't work, you bow out gracefully. And he's tossing a baseball into the air while he's talking faster and faster. He's clearly agitated. He's like, I'm not interested in assigning blame because I think it's all illusory anyway. But he does agree with what his ex-girlfriend Gwyneth Paltrow said about making life hard for himself.
I swear that she said that in the profile that we have done.
She did.
Yeah.
She did. And he also commented in her own profile.
Yeah.
He says, she's probably right about that. I trust her opinion on most things. Not all, but most. I think I probably do get in my way. I remember in that profile, I think she told him to like give up cigarettes and Diet Coke.
Yes. Yes.
And he was like, no, thank you.
I know. And in the next paragraph, he lights a cigarette and takes a vigorous drag.
And we all know that face.
I know.
We all know the Ben Affleck just exhaling into the ether.
I know. Man. I know.
So he's like, I have lots of interest, lots of energy. And there's a negative side to that. But mostly, like, I think I'm a good boyfriend is what he's saying overall. And she dives into when Ben and Jen first lived together in Philly while they were filming Jersey Girl. And then afterwards in Los Angeles. He wanted to rent this house. He lost out to Nelly, which is a very funny anecdote. He's like, Nelly got it. He doesn't have that kind of actorish false humility and will beat you to any punchline about himself. I mean, he calls
Giggly
a bomberoonie. I mean, there's this really great repartee that happens here where the phone rings in his office, that at his production studio office, and his assistant's like, pick it up. Like, they have like a really cute, non-hierarchical, bantery relationship, which is, anyone will tell you, extremely uncommon in the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
No one is being like to their boss, like, pick up the phone.
Yeah. Oh, as if.
As if. And he says, you see the respect I get around here?
That stuff works on me. I'm like, this is delightful.
Oh, it's so hot. His pal, Chris Moore, says he's not completely obsessed with himself like other people in this profession. He can talk about who should be the next president or why he thinks it's okay that the Red Sox didn't get A-Rod. He's been a real loyal friend, blah, blah, blah. Isn't that not crazy?
I know. This is a prophecy.
It's foreshadowing. That's
all
I gotta say.
It's a foreshadowing. This was all foretold.
That he would be shooting the shit about his future wife's ex-fiance.
Yeah. That she was with for a while, that I took a picture of.
Exactly.
At the Met Gala, which is just happened.
Before he went off with influencers in Miami and she found out, abruptly calling off their engagement, only to return to her ex-fiance Ben Affleck months later. That woman loves a rebound.
Yeah.
She loves to like stick it to you.
Yeah.
With a quick,
yeah,
serious relationship.
Quick, serious relationship. Yeah, it's so true.
But he was like, I'm not going to get, you know, caught up in all the media scrutiny these days. He's like, I'm not going to jump up and down and say letters to lawyers. I've tried suing. Nothing works. And this kind of like media backlash, interestingly, has been happening for him since the Goodwill Hunting day. So I think the problem with Ben Affleck is he's very attractive. He's very tall in a real way, not in a Tom Cruise, Google him, and he's 5'9 in platforms way. He also wrote a script that ended up winning like the best original screenplay. Or what did it win?
It won, oh my God. Oh no, no. Best supporting actor, Robin Williams.
Yeah.
And then best original screenplay, right, for Affleck and Damon.
So that never happens. These are two 22-year-old boys, first time screenwriters. This all came to pass because Matt Damon was attending Harvard at the time and had to compose like a play for his theater class, something like that, and got Ben Affleck to come in, his best friend from Boston, and like read the script out loud with him. And the professor was like, you have a movie here. So Matt moved in with Ben, who was a struggling actor in Los Angeles, and they wrote out the script, sold it to Harvey Weinstein at Miramax, and what would you know, they have an Oscar for it. It's like an insane trajectory. And I think that's the problem. Ivana is holding up her arm because she has chills.
As
per usual. Yeah.
I thought it would be repetitive to say.
No, I love it.
Everything gets me. Frisian.
And I think that this is the problem, is that Ben Affleck on paper looks like he's had it very easy and people don't love that. In the aftermath of Good Will Hunting, people called him gay. People accused them of not writing the script. There was a whole slew of mud slung at these two boys because it just was like, it was unbelievable what the coup that they pulled off in the industry. But it was really the relationship with Jennifer Lopez that people got so pissed off about. And he's trying to break down why it rankled people so much. And it was because he believes the unexpected nature of their union. They're such an unlikely couple. And he's like, it had to be something to do with race and class that pushed a button. This is coming from the country that flew into a gigantic uproar about Janet Jackson's breast.
Topical.
I know. There's still a heavy duty Puritan influence going on. And we hold ourselves to a pretty chaste ideal, which includes like buried within it, the tradition of people being with people like them. We were thought of two different kinds of people, not just racially, but culturally. I think that's right. For sure.
I agree. For sure. Yeah.
I think there's also an element here, and I've been thinking on it, stewing on it, of Kylie and Timothy, where, yeah, it's different. It doesn't matter that Kylie and Timothy are both white from affluent backgrounds. It's just so random.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to put together. And a lot of people, both with Kylie and Timothy, see them as individual sex symbols who should be with different types of people.
Yeah.
Kylie with like the hot badass kind of rapper, as is her background, and Timothy with the cool art girl who's like reading Proust yeah, in the corner.
An Anya Taylor-Joy kind of thing.
Exactly. It's jarring. And I think that's what's happening here, and that is what Ben also thinks is happening with regards to him and J-Lo, with a kind of a cultural, racial, and class undercurrent. And Jancy makes a very valid point of saying maybe that's why the tabloids have gone so much easier on Lopez dating singer Mark Anthony, because they're both Latin.
Yeah.
And Affleck lights another menthol while he's talking about it and says, it came down to, wow, I never thought those two would be together. You might think that here in this moment, we would maybe get to know Ben, the man, dive into his background a little. Oh, no, no.
No. Yeah, we really never go there.
No. We go straight into more Jennifer Lopez. This time, just the origin story of their relationship. So they met on set in 2001, and she was still married to dancer Chris Judd, who came after her hot server husband, who we talked about in her episode. They started up this affair, and soon after were bombarded by press. I mean, we're talking 100-strong mobs of rambunctious paparazzi who, when they would shoot, gathered at the edge of the set. Like, literally, in this very movie, Jersey Girl, Kevin Smith would call cut and they would swarm like locusts.
And they would keep kissing even after, long after cut was called.
I mean, that is the craziest takeaway. Can you imagine?
You're on that set. You're like, are you ever making out in public?
No.
Me neither.
I can't think me of a
neither.
Time.
Me neither. Mm-hmm. It feels unfathomable. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's an issue with us.
Even like on the dance floor, like a few drinks in, like I'm not like making out.
No. No, I'm dancing. It's really hard to kiss while you're dancing really, really hard.
Oh, I've just come off a conversation with a friend too who is like been in a relationship for a long time the way we have. And is talking about like a relatively newish couple. And she was like, they are unbearable.
Yeah.
In each other's laps. I know. 24/7.
The laps. The laps is crazy.
Twerking on each other.
Yeah.
In a small gathering.
Dinner party. They're just in a corner throwing ass. Candles lit. Just
a grind to drink.
Yeah.
But Kevin has this incredible quote saying, you'd think like they would chill out with regards to the paparazzi.
Like two famous people have never fucked before.
He says literally like two famous people have never fucked before. And I cannot believe Kevin Smith got this candid. He was like, it actually became really easy to keep track of these stars because they'd come to set together, they'd get made up together, they'd be in their trailer together. So if you found one, you found the other. If we had any problem with the movie, it was that if you wanted to go get them, the trailer was rocking. So you just let them be. Not the trailer rocking?
Oh my God.
Oh my God. So they announced their engagement like immediately after. So she was married in 2001. By 2002, she was engaged to Ben Affleck.
Was this the pink diamond or the blue diamond?
I think it was. Wasn't Mark Anthony the pink?
Oh.
I don't know.
God, no, we can't keep track.
We can't keep track. Much like Victoria Beckham's engagement ring. She gets a new one every year. She has like 15.
Oh my God.
Sometimes it's like diamonds do heal all.
Yeah, I know. I, as a joke, every year on my birthday, ask Stephen for jewels. He's like, what do you want? Like, you know, what do you need?
What do you need right now? Year? Yeah.
And I, without missing a beat every year, I'm like, jewels. I'd like jewels.
Yeah. Anything you can swing.
Yeah.
Just the 3-carat.
Just one ruby. If you can.
That would be great.
Take some time out of your schedule to find one.
I think for me, a Prada bag, that would...
Heal all.
Yeah. Anything would be forgiven. But it's just like... insane. So they announce their engagement. Ben goes away to film this random movie Paycheck and is basically caught frolicking with strippers. And then he's like, there have been plain bald-faced lies told about me for money. So who's to say what happened there? But jiggly fricasseed.
Incredible verb. Yeah. Fricasseed.
I mean, look, it made $3.8 million on opening weekend. And this is when J-Lo and Ben were obviously like the biggest stars of it all. A few days before their scheduled wedding in Santa Barbara, which I actually didn't know that they had a wedding on the books, like fully planned. They called it off, issuing a joint statement saying that they had to postpone it due to media scrutiny. And Ben says that really was the truth. From there, the relationship just limped along. But Kevin Smith says it was weird. In the course of time from Jersey Girl's wrap up until now, it was like watching the entire life cycle of the public's fascination, then revulsion, then fallout. Gen Z makes a very valid point here about Jennifer Lopez's tendency to fan the flames. And we've talked about this before with her tipping off the paparazzi as to her whereabouts. She came out with a song to Ben. I think God made you for me, the lyrics go, a mix of passionate fidelities, baby, you're so complete. I write this song to let you know that you will always be to me my lust, my love, my man, my child, my friend, and my king. Yeah.
My child, I don't know about. I don't like that.
Yeah.
But my she king? Was, yeah, my king is funny to me and I like that.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Happy with that?
Yeah. And she was right.
Any more nouns you want to... My friend, are you happy? You happy?
My friend, that's good.
My lust, that's healthy. That sounds good to you?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, I'll take it. My love, classic.
Mm-hmm.
My man, fun.
My child takes it a step. It's like we needed to fill the essay.
Yeah.
You know, 3,000 words. They weren't going to write themselves. What I can ChatGPT come up with?
But again, if we read this profile as a prophecy, she was right.
She was.
He would always be her love. Mm-hmm. Here they are together, married. Married today.
Totally.
And going all the distance. I mean, I don't know what could break them up now.
Well, Madonna tried to. Madonna weighed in this moment and said, to a certain extent, they courted the media attention. At the end of the day, there needs to be a part of the relationship that you keep private. I think that's valid. Because even if Ben wasn't asking for the attention, I think Jennifer Lopez loves attention, as proven by her concurrent self-financed movie and documentary where she like confessed to being a love addict and put their whole relationship on display, even though Ben specifically said, why do you have to do this? So I think Madonna may have a point here, but Ben Affleck shakes his head. He says, you can probably file that quote in the dictionary of cliches under the heading of pot and kettle. I mean, I didn't do a book of me naked.
Brutal. I'm kind of obsessed with the little
snipes.
Yeah, the snipes, the japes.
Yeah, exactly.
Japes back and forth.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's so sexy. And you often obviously don't get this.
No.
In a profile, everyone is very media trained. And he's letting rip in this. I mean, oh my God. He talks about the overexposure a little bit. Jancy kind of calls him on his bullshit and says, like, why would you go on Howard Stern and talk about Jennifer's ass? He was like, you know what you're getting. It's not CNN, where there's some snide prick named Anderson Cooper pretending to do real news where there's nothing substantive at all.
Wow.
Talk about firing shots.
Yeah.
And then Jancy goes, well, a dig at Cooper is always welcome. It doesn't answer the question. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Is Anderson Cooper not light?
I think that people find him pretentious.
Right.
And like, he's a Vanderbilt.
Yes.
And I think that there is just an understanding of like, you, sir, you wouldn't be here, most likely.
Mm-hmm. If without it weren't the generational wealth and privilege of growing up in Manhattan with one of the most famous names.
There is.
Yeah.
In the world.
Yeah. So it's just like an endless fascination with their sex life. And sometimes he's down, sometimes he's not. And anyway, it's always making headlines. He decides in this moment, he's going to take Jancy for a drive. This is an abrupt transition, I find. They've been in his office the whole time. He's been throwing a baseball back and forth. He's just been ripping durries, just on the fags, one after the other. Just go, go, go.
Yeah.
And he's now like, get in my car, baby. She opens the car door. Mountains of plastic bottles.
Perfect.
He clears the seat. She gets in.
A gentleman.
An officer and a gentleman. He starts drag racing. He is going like, for fuck's sake, at hesitant LA drivers. He's talking about learning to drive in Boston. And then this is the setup for finally talking about Ben Affleck, the man. He grew up in Cambridgeport, an ethnically integrated part of Boston. He has a younger brother, Casey, who would go on to be a star in his own right. Mom, who's a school teacher, a dad who was like variously like a janitor, a bartender, a mechanic, and a bookie. He was also an alcoholic, which was really tough. And he only reconnected with him recently as he was going through recovery, which is particularly sad because clearly addiction is hereditary. And Ben Affleck has also struggled on and off with alcohol. He had a month-long stint in rehab in 2001. And then he would also go back in 2017 and then again in 2018, which was all happening kind of throughout his marriage to Jennifer Garner. A quick tangent. But he was like, my dad's a good man. We have a good relationship. And he really loves his mom. He's like, unconditional love. That was her thing.
I love the bit where she gets really mad at him if he stays at a hotel when he's visiting her.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm 31 years old and I don't want to sleep on a sleeping bag down in the basement. It's humiliating.
Yeah.
And I feel like it really, he is one of the ones that actually has humble beginnings.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think Matt does too.
Yeah.
And that obviously connects them. They're best friends. They lived two blocks away and would conduct business meetings about their acting careers in the high school cafeteria.
Me and you.
I mean, eyes on the prize since the beginning. He was like, it was so nerdy. We're just sitting there and saying like, okay, so we should go to New York for this amount of time. And then we should probably move to LA. I mean, it's come out since that they had a joint bank account, everything. I mean, they were married and they've kind of been married since the beginning. It's incredible to find that friendship like so young.
I would do anything for like a leaked phone call. One leaked phone call.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Even their joint interviews. It's just like a connection like nothing else.
Yeah.
Romance.
Yeah.
But he went out to LA first and started auditioning for like everything and got turned down again and again. Like Dead Poets Society, License to Drive. And in the meantime, Matt was the student at Harvard who was also being cast in like one disappointing role after another. Out of frustration, the two wrote Good Will Hunting off the back of Matt's college assignment. And it earned 9 Oscar nominations and made Matt and Ben just instant stars. Ben describes it as being on a roller coaster. He's like, you know, it's exciting, but you're aware mostly of the sense of movement. It's hard to digest even in retrospect, which is so true. And also the knowledge that it's going to stop.
Yeah.
You know, the roller coaster has to end at some point. And like, is your hat still going to be on?
It's so scary to get major success very young. It's like a terrifying ride.
It fucks people.
It really does. And you don't know what's happening.
And the hardest combination is when either they have like a parent who's a manager, which we've seen over and over again, Britney, Beyonce, you name it, Lindsay. And especially if there's prior poverty involved in some way, if it's like, okay, we're getting money and we've never had money before. There's kind of a lot going on. So, I mean, I think they're really lucky that they were even 22. Thank God, because who knows where they might have been now. But coasting down Sunset Boulevard, Ben admits that his charm more than his talent is really what gets him places. But he's also getting like $15 million for a movie at this point. But the pitfalls of that is that you also get pigeonholed. So he's like, you do too many and people start to think of you as like the big action guy. I remember hearing an incredible interview with Kate Beckinsale where she talked about being perceived as like the weak pretty girl from Pearl Harbor and those types of movies. So she did a sharp pivot for Underworld to the action star, and then she was solely the action girl. And she was like, what is a girl gonna do around here to get a bit of a diversity? Am I right? Especially in this point in time, it was like, you do what you do and you do it well, we're gonna keep you in that spot.
And Ben Affleck is interesting because he also wasn't really, he was, but he wasn't a romantic comedy lead in the same way like a Matthew McConaughey was, where I would say that they occupy different spaces almost.
Interestingly, when he kind of broke out in this role, Chasing Amy, which was happening concurrently with Good Will Hunting, because he was this kind of intellectual character in that movie, this kind of like nerdy man of the people type, people got really upset at him for doing movies like Pearl Harbor and big blockbusters. So like he kind of couldn't win no matter what he did. And he describes it as he felt like Larry Bird, the famous basketballer who was just working so hard but could never really keep up with the biggest guys in the game. He was like, I always felt like the guy who had to work harder than the next guy. I've always felt like I had to compensate in so many different ways. I've been told both. I am cancer and I am the cure. And that's going to keep you grounded.
Whoa.
When you're hearing two conflicting things, like you've got the yes man and you've got the hell no man, I think that, I mean, maybe that's the secret to his feet on the ground.
That's true. He's never at any point in his career has it been 100%, we're all behind you, the public adores you.
Exactly.
In the same way that a George Clooney, for instance, I would say a similar, slightly earlier generation, but megastar. It's like everyone loved him from his, you know, early days, getting huge roles. Everyone loves him now. Yeah. Everyone's loved him the whole time.
Exactly. And Jancy has to take a break from Ben the man and pivot back to Ben Niffer, the relationship. And I think it's clear that Ben is feeling like a little bit of guilt over the whole J-Lo thing and bringing her onto this film, maybe unnecessarily. And he recalls John Frankenheimer, a director who cast him in a thriller from the 2000s where he starred alongside Charlize Theron. This guy, John, was like, hey, I'm going to give you the speech I give every actor. Don't fuck the leading lady. Leave it on the screen. And I think that's something that has remained with him. Like, I shouldn't have kind of fucked the leading lady. This is where we get to our next stop. We're arriving at lunch. And there are paparazzi fucking everywhere. He cannot get away. He's like, are you ready to be the unnamed female, Jancy? And she could not be more thrilled.
Yeah. Honestly, same.
They talk about what's up for him next. He's like playing poker, and I think he's frustrated that the press are now assuming he is always trading in one addiction for another. Alcoholism for Jen and Jen for gambling. He was like, that's the most common thing people who have been in 12-step programs think and believe. He talks about his next movie, Surviving Christmas. The classic.
I haven't seen Surviving Christmas, but it is interesting to think of all the places he went from here. He was Batman. Gone Girl was such a huge moment. I mean, he's had really big things. He's also been lauded as a director these days. And I just don't think any of that was obvious in this moment. He is... here in this profile, a dumped man.
Yeah.
Who's about to star in a Christmas flick.
And not just a dumped man. His entire identity is the dumped man. Like, it's not just he's dumped in this moment. He is just Dumpy McDumperoo, you know?
I know. And this was even before the Phoenix tattoo on the back.
Oh, I don't know if it was even. Was it before?
I swear that was new.
Because this cover, is one of the most outrageous magazine covers we have ever seen.
I agree.
I'm talking goatee. I'm talking Ed Sheeran level colored tattoo out for the world to see, arms crossed, biceps flexed.
Yeah.
I think he thinks he was being sexy.
Yeah,
like, of course. He was like, you don't know what you're missing, baby.
Yeah. It is outrageous is the only word for it, because it's so of its time. There's not a hint of a joke in his eyes.
He's like, I want to only take supporting roles from here on out so I don't have to talk about my personal life. And Jency takes this time to be like, that's enough about Surviving Christmas. What did your friends think of Jennifer Lopez? And she hears from the source, this guy Chris Moore is like, I mean, all our friends hated him while he was dating this girl. We were like, I love that guy. Like, he's funny as hell. But like, when he's with her, And now Ben is like having to really take a moment and be in his like eat, pray, love era. His bestie Matt is shooting in India for the Born Identity sequel, and he wants to go and visit.
It's perfect.
It's like, so what are you up to? Are you free to hang? I'll come to you. You stay.
I'll come. Yeah. I want one of those sort of like 4-part documentary series on their friendship that we have of, like, you know, like Audrey Hepburn and Givenchy,
right?
Like the relationship
and the Swans.
Exactly.
No, we need it.
We need it.
I know. That's good IP.
Yeah.
Let's keep that close to the chest.
Yeah. Actually, you didn't hear it.
No.
You didn't hear it. And if you did, we've already copyrighted it.
Yeah. It's I've worked on it.
Something.
Yes. Yes. Exactly right. And Jency like brings herself back into it once again here, where she talks to the pups outside the restaurant who are like losing interest and beginning to back away. And Ben goes, let's hold hands as we leave. Then he says, nah, too obvious. And he puts his arm around her, and the photographer moves in closer. You're too stiff, he says in my ear. Gotta loosen up. I assume a guilty expression as we run to his car. I'm J-Lo for the day. Damned if this isn't sort of exciting.
It's so crazy. It's so, but again,
you're too stiff. I don't think there's one moment I've had with a celebrity man, a male celebrity, where I have included what they said to me because it's so outrageous. And it was ASAP Ferg who said, what do you do?
Amazing.
You should model my merch.
Perfect.
First of all, sir, I'm there to interview you.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
You're looking at my job. I think you would be a really good, like, guest model. Guest jeans.
Are you being...
I'm being serious.
Sarcastic.
No. Why? Are you kidding? No. You have a bold beauty like those girls.
Oh, my God.
I mean that.
Christ alive. That's crazy. Thank you so much.
Of course. I've been seeing the billboards. And it's not, you know, it's very different than, like, an Yves Saint Laurent. Like,
right. Which is...
That's not for us.
No. Waif.
That's...
Then.
Yeah.
7-year-old boys can't fit the jeans.
Yeah.
Famously.
Yeah.
But thank you. I'm going to take that to the grave. I mean, you're following in the footsteps of storied people. Kate Upton.
Yeah.
Cindy Crawford.
Mm-hmm.
Anna Nicole Smith.
Yeah. I just feel like they're not afraid to put someone in there with, like, features, like, a, you know.
That's true. They love a dark brow.
Yeah.
And they love a bit of cleavage.
Yeah.
That's for damn sure.
Which you've got in droves.
Thank you so much for noticing. Ben is like...
No, I'll feed us in. I completely derailed us.
The derail was tough. I was like, how do I go back?
No, how do we go in?
How do we go back?
This is how we do it.
Tell me.
Similar...
There's absolutely no way. I'm just going to put a full stop there.
Full stop.
And
here we are.
And here we are. Despite the carnival that Ben's life has become, he is upbeat. I'm not saying woe is me, he says. I have a good life and I take responsibility for everything I've done. He is a little shell-shocked, but he is not contrite. He's not going to apologize for anything. He's like, you know what? I'm not one of those guys that got arrested. I didn't actually do anything wrong, which is... so fair.
Yeah.
The man has never put a foot out of line. He's totally unproblematic. Unlike Casey, shall we say.
I know.
But he's like, is there something I would do differently? Not really. I suppose the temptation is to say that I wouldn't have done any of the press we did for Giggly. But you're paid really well to do these movies. And the expectation is that you're going to support them. Which is true. And it's one of the weirdest parts of a profile, a press tour, whatever. It's like, my job... does not require me to go and talk about my personal life,
mm-hmm.
or even like my favorite brand of gummy bears. What that being asked to do to sell seats,
hot ones, hot to sear their stomach lining for the delight of the public. I mean, we live in Roman times.
Fabricate a relationship with a co-star, Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney style, only to remain with your fiance, the producer of the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, PR is a wild excursion.
I know.
Now that Affleck has given the photographer the slip, he says that he has a meeting with Jay-Z and wants to discuss a cross-branding opportunity. In this moment, Ben's strutting a little. He says, you know what? I have a little street cred. I don't know if you noticed. Then he waves goodbye. I hope to God they run the pictures, he calls as he leaves.
There was a bidding war for the photos of the quote-unquote unnamed woman, and the winning tabloid ran the story the following week. The Lord, it seems, was listening.
I mean, to end a profile with the Lord is listening, as good as that, as good as it gets.
No. And he's a great one. To have those photos forever of Ben Affleck with his arms around you whispering into your ear as you leave a restaurant.
We've got to look. I wonder if we can find them.
Oh, I know.
I know. We'll go deep into the archives.
And if
for
we
that.
Find them, we'll post them.
Oh, absolutely.
Obviously.
Yeah. No, definitely. I just like think this is the most likable guy on the goddamn planet.
Yeah.
And anyone that comes for his neck, I will be fighting against.
Yeah.
I'll be throwing hands. Hoops out, just ready to go to bat. And I don't know, like, he's one of those people that I don't think we loved him before the profile.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I haven't thought about him, honestly, in a minute.
Yeah.
I've only thought about him in the J-Lo self-financed movie, wondering what those private calls to Matt are in talking about the film.
Yes.
Being like, they are two men of taste. They have taste. They've proven themselves as auteurs of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd kill to know what they're saying in private behind closed doors. You know, when he steps out of the house and is like, hey, it's coming out. It's happening. It's happening now.
It's incredible that they've come back together. The circumstances of which, I mean, a month after her relationship ended with Alex Rodriguez. That's a lot. She couldn't have hit the club, you know?
I know.
For one moment.
There must be something there that we'll never know. And obviously we don't know what's going on ever in anyone's relationship, but I think that there's something that binds them to each other. They are obsessed with each other, I think.
If they were like our friends, we would not be able to stop talking about them. Ben and Jen are back together.
Yeah.
Did you hear?
Yeah.
It would be that.
Yeah, of course.
They're just a fascinating duo, and I think it is because of how public they are and how hot they are,
mm-hmm.
and the longevity of their love story obviously plays a huge part, but I just can't believe it reached such a fever pitch that a Rolling Stone cover was entirely dedicated to their relationship. There was one mention of Surviving Christmas. One sentence dedicated to Surviving Christmas. And Christina Applegate was in it. I mean, that's a big get.
We should do a film club, but only of the movies that are completely lost to the tides in these profiles.
Yeah, totally.
Like the ones where it's like, oh, they were here to promote something that really wasn't covered. Surviving Christmas is obviously would be the inaugural showing.
In the graveyard of profile movies.
Yeah. There is such a graveyard. I feel like Gwyneth Paltrow, she was also promoting something that no one saw or knew
about. That was the weirdest one. Yeah. What was that?
It was something wild. There have been some strange ones.
No, that was like Apples in the Rain was the name of that
movie.
No,
I swear to God, it was Apples in the Rain. I swear to you, if you hadn't said Apples, I would have said Apples.
Well, I mean, it's the name of her daughter. I think I just
And that's probably where she found it. That's probably where she was inspired.
Their relationship to me is really special too. She's so interesting the way that she keeps in touch with her ex-boyfriends and like rides so hard for them. I mean, she like rides for Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Still. Even amid all their allegations.
I know.
But Ben, I think, is just like such a cool guy. I heard him on a podcast recently and I think that is his format, because hearing him speak completely derails his public persona of being like the douchebag or the perpetually tired guy who just smokes a lot.
Yeah.
He's just such a nice dude. I'd love to get to know him a little bit more.
Me too. I gotta say, I followed him and Ana de Armas' relationship so closely. It was one of the only things I feel like I had during the pandemic that was really, it was constant, it was good, it was sweet. I loved their little walks around the neighborhood. I followed
his amateur photography on the beach.
Yeah.
Where she's slightly out of focus, the wind whipping her tendrils.
I loved it.
That really was a moment in time.
It was.
That's another unlikely relationship.
Yeah.
I know. He loves him.
And how old is she? We'll never know. We don't know.
Right? No. I think it was like a 15-year age gap. We weren't in the Leo DiCaprio rate. Yeah. What I wouldn't give to kind of share an American spirit with the man. And I don't even smoke.
Yeah. That's how I feel as well. And I have a sort of blind feeling that you and I could get the best of him. Charm
by the boatload.
Yeah. Did you see he's just not that into you?
I did.
Did you like him in it?
He was the husband of Demi Moore, correct? Like the douchebag.
No, he was the husband of Jennifer Aniston.
And what was he doing in that movie?
He was the one that refused to marry her.
That's right.
And then he proposed with the cargo pant, the ring in the cargo pant.
Okay, say what you will about that movie. Very realistic.
Very realistic.
Very realistic.
Electric. But I mean, that movie, that cast, a real wild moment where every famous person was in every movie altogether. Bradley Cooper, Scarlett Johansson.
Outrageous. On the same. Would you not die to see what that call sheet looks like?
Yeah.
How they ranked those people?
Who do you think was number one? Probably Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, right.
After Friends.
No, and then, I think Scarlett. And then
Bradley.
Ben. No, maybe Ben. Ben, Jen. It has to go that way. Right?
Drew Barrymore.
Yes.
She would have been up there.
You know who was right at the goddamn bottom?
Don't say it.
Justin Long.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the one who was in Lord of the Rings, whose name I can't remember.
Sam. He was in that?
He was in that. Wait, I think. I don't know if he was.
What a deep reference pool, only to be wrong.
I swear.
He was not following Frodo into that yoga studio.
Wait. Kevin Connolly.
Yeah. No. Was he in it?
Yeah. Is he Sam in Lord of the Rings? Wait,
he's in 50 First Dates
and The Notebook. He's his friend in The Notebook.
Oh my God.
I think that I have made a grievous error. I think I don't know who the actor is.
No.
In Lord of the Rings at all.
No, I don't. I don't think you do.
I can't.
He's the little brother in 50 First Dates with like the lisp.
Yeah. And the muscle tee.
That's right.
And he was in the Pussy Posse.
Was he?
No.
You're thinking of the guy from Entourage, whose name I'm forgetting. The very short little man.
Oh God. Who plays E.
Yes, that's right.
What's his name?
Kevin Connolly. That's Kevin Connolly. You're getting your tiny men mixed up. It's easy to do.
Oh my God. Me just spreading misinformation at the end of the episode. I'm like, and Ben Affleck, famously, I'm like, he's 27 right now.
Can you believe he's only 27?
Can you believe he's only 27 years old?
He's accomplished so much in the last 20 years.
It really makes you think.
No. God, Justin Long, so hot in that movie.
I know.
He seems like a
wonderful boyfriend. Speaking of great boyfriends, him and Kate Bosworth can't get enough of each other. Do you see their posts?
Oh, it's hot. talk about a perfect relationship. Yeah. That when they came together, everyone just sighed with relief. Just like
gentle golf claps.
Yes. Yeah. I saw her in New York recently. You know, she really? Came and said hi to Jeanne Damas as I was interviewing her.
Oh my God.
She, perfect. Of course. Looking overalls. Yeah. Perfect two colored eyes. Just yeah. in town from upstate. God. And then she kept it moving. I mean, as she would. Beautiful big dog.
Of course.
Who is your celebrity crush?
Colin Farrell.
Good one.
Love him.
I really liked Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
And someone compared Chris to JGL recently.
Yeah.
And I was like, my God, you're pulling out a memory from deep within. That was the love of my life for a hot second.
No, of course. And I do think that we do end up with the people that are similar to the celebrity crushes. I was recently talking about a few celebrity crushes that I had, and someone was like, all of those guys just look like Steven. And I was like, oh my God.
It's too close to home. Yeah, I know.
It's like
yeah.
we're not even creative enough yeah. to like someone that's like completely off brand.
No. It all comes back to our inner child.
But back to challengers, I do think that Josh O'Connor has risen in the ranks for me because he was hot, spicy, and sweet in that movie. Oof. Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Threesomes galore?
No.
No?
No, not necessarily. I mean,
a friend who saw it last night just texted me the tennis racket emoji and a bunch of splash emojis. I asked for a review.
Yeah. Yeah.
Words clearly couldn't cut it.
No. No, there are no words good enough.
Oh, well, I challenge you, sweetheart goes, to write us a little review.
Yeah.
Give us a little 5-star. If you, go on.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Be a little crazy.
Yeah. What else are you doing?
Actually, what else are you doing? What else are you doing? And in the meantime, we're so grateful for you in every way. I can't wait to be back next week talking about another super hot celebrity. We love you. Bye.
Bye.
Uncover Girl is lovingly crafted by Beatrice Hazelhurst and Ivana Ryder. If you want to get even deeper under the covers with us, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/uncovergirl or follow us on Instagram at uncovergirlpodcast. Rate Uncover Girl, write us a review, and share your favorite episode, Shawn Mendes, Rolling Stone 2018, anyone? And we will be your forever fans. Love you.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.